Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Join us for our advanced class, Your Window on the World, as we talk about bringing iPad minis on board. It's time for our technology article, and we've talked about airline fees this month already, and now we're going to talk about planes again, but a different aspect of that. And we have our good panelists with us today. We have Linda. How are you, Linda?
I'm great, thank you. It's nice to be here.
Thanks for coming back. And Josh?
Hi, Doris. Great to be here.
And this Bill. Is Bill. Doris, I'm glad to be here.
And we're going to talk about planes again and flying. And that's a pretty interesting subject because so many people are using planes these days.
Yeah, we talked about airline fees, dealing with passengers and commercial airlines in our first article of the month. But now we go to an Air Force base and do some study on a little bit different topic.
And, you know, one thing I like about this article, it has some very good phrases and English terms that we can use in it. Don't you think so, Linda?
Yeah, I do. And they're used very well, and this article is very well written.
And, of course, iPads are so popular now, and whatever you – there's all kinds of devices with different names, but we usually use this name as a generic term like the iPad. And the iPad mini is just a smaller one, and so many gadgets nowadays that if you want to buy one, you already know which one to buy. Isn't that true?
That's true. So many different sizes and functionalities and features, but we'll – talk today and tomorrow about an interesting way that the tablet or the iPad mini is affecting military air travel.
And where are they doing this experiment?
Yeah, they're doing this at Scott Air Force Base, which is a U.S. Air Force base that's located in southwest Illinois down near St. Louis. And so it's really interesting to see how they're using these iPad minis. And I think it will spread throughout not only the Air Force but also in all forms of aviation.
Right. It says that they're trading in their paper maps for iPad minis. Now, I think people who drive cars are doing the same thing. They used to have so many maps in the car, but a lot of people now don't you don't find maps in the glove compartment like you used to.
Right. Everybody's using their GPS as far as whether it's on their smartphone or on their tablet. And, you know, people are comfortable with that. You don't see so many printed maps anymore.
Do you think it's easy to find things on an iPad compared to opening a map and finding it? What do you think, Linda?
Well, I think if you're not technologically adept, it might take some getting used to, but I think you can learn anything. I love to read maps. So
I think maps are good, too. But if you're driving the car or something, you have to stop and look over. But if you have a smaller gadget, it's easier to find your place. Don't you think, Josh?
I haven't touched a paper map in 12 years. I love Google Maps.
It's the opposite. Oh,
yeah. It's so easy. Just type it in. Gets me there. The voice-activated controls. I am not – I'm actually easily lost. I'm directionally challenged is what I was going to try to say. So I need all the help I can get.
But sometimes I feel like slapping that voice because they keep telling you, turn around, you missed the curve.
Well, you probably went the wrong way, Linda. That's why they told you that.
Actually, we were going a shorter way.
Okay.
Hey, you know, you mentioned something because that is my only concern with GPS, you know, devices that we use because sometimes they don't really give you the right directions or the best directions, and sometimes they might steer you in a way that's not really the best. And I certainly hope that doesn't happen up in the air with one of these airplanes.
Well, I don't think these maps that we're talking about tell them what to do. I think that they just show them and they make the decision. So we're going to find out more about that today. So let's open your magazines, which I hope you have, to page 16. And let's begin by reading the first column. Then we'll have a discussion on it. So are you ready, everyone?
Yep.
Let's go.
Bringing iPad minis on board. At Scott Air Force Base, pilots are trading in paper maps for iPad minis. There are two things you notice right off about the C-21A passenger jet under the command of Air Force Major Jared Detloff. First, the cockpit that Detlef shares with his co-pilot is small and cramped. Second, the space directly behind the cockpit is jammed with a mountain of printed maps, navigational charts, and flight manuals, nearly 50 pounds of paper that must be tossed out and replaced as the maps and manuals are continuously updated. Not surprisingly, Detlef and his fellow aviators at the 375th Operations Group jumped at the chance to serve as guinea pigs for an experimental program to see if an iPad mini tablet could replace the manuals and charts that make up the traditional paper-based flight bag. So far, the new electronic flight bags are working better than expected. Detlef acknowledged going through a learning curve as he made the transition to an electronic tablet after a career spent relying on printed books and charts. There have been some differences, but so far the reception has been very positive, he said.
And today's article starts off by telling us there are two things that you notice right off. Josh, what are those two things that you notice?
Well, first, that the cockpit that our Air Force Major Jared Detlef shares with his co-pilot up in the C-21A passenger jet is small and cramped.
Well, I guess cockpits are usually that way, although on these huge, big planes, the cockpits are quite a bit bigger. What is a cockpit?
Well, that's up front. That is where the pilot and co-pilot and sometimes the navigator sit, and they steer the plane from up there. You know what, though, Doris? If you ever glance in a passenger jet, even those cockpits are extremely cramped. Those guys don't have much room to move around.
Well, the bigger planes do have, though.
Right, but we're talking about an Air Force jet, so it's not really designed. It's a passenger jet, but it's not one of the big ones.
Right.
I like the phrase, under the command of. Mm-hmm. You hear that a lot in aviation and in ships, right? If something is under the command of a person, they're in charge.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
This program is under the command of Doris Brohm.
That's right.
Oh, boy.
She's guiding the ship.
So let's shape up and get going on it and find out what happens there. And in the cockpit, this Detlef, he shares with his co-pilot. So I'm sharing this article with my co-producers here. Okay, what have you got to say, Linda?
Okay. I have nothing to say.
But our recording studios are not small and cramped. They're very nice, comparatively
speaking. That's right. It's very comfortable here.
But when you're on a plane, it is kind of small and cramped. Everything is small, even the bathrooms, right? Everything is small and cramped on planes, right?
They are.
But the pilots don't have a lot of space. That's what the point that they're trying to make. And there's another thing about the space that
right.
it tells us.
We see there, second, the space directly behind the cockpit is jammed with a mountain of printed maps, navigational charts, and flight manuals.
Like a library right behind them, isn't it, Bill?
Yeah, so you've got this place where they're sitting and all the instruments and controls are. It's really crowded. And then, in addition, right behind these guys, there's not much space to move either.
No, in fact, I didn't realize it would be that much, but there's about 50 pounds of paper, and they have to throw it out and replace it as they update things all the time. Did you realize it was that much?
No, I was really shocked when I read that figure. You know, that's like 22 kilos of paper of different manuals and maps. That's unbelievable.
It does seem strange, too, because you have such little room there. So how can the navigator even make his way to find the right manuals and materials that he needs?
That's it. When you start your flight, you're going to have to go in there and look and find where you're going to be going, what airports, and anything you might need to know. You have to look that up ahead of time. And it doesn't seem like that's a very good place to be looking for materials when you're flying a plane.
It must be very well organized, don't you think? They must know exactly where to go or what to find what they're looking for.
Well, you know, I'm trying to picture what they look like. And a lot of these are going to be maps. They're going to be bound in map books. And
yes.
So paper actually can be very dense when it's all stacked together. Just think of like a ream of paper that you would put in a copier.
Right.
And that actually is surprisingly heavy. And so you could probably take maybe 10 or 15 of these books and make it 50 pounds. And so that's why it gets so heavy.
Well, look at the top of page 17. There is a picture of a pilot there with, his hand is patting this stack of papers here.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the thing is, what I like is to see the picture of the little iPad because that's so small. And there's a map on there, and you can see it so clearly. You don't have to open up a big map and look all over it to find where you are. It's right there.
That's right. And it says at the end of the line 11, says there the manuals are continuously updated.
Mm-hmm.
So that means the paper would need to be replaced quite often because there were changes made to the manuals, and they needed new ones.
Lots of trees.
So we're not surprised, then, that this man, Detlef, and his fellow aviators of this operations group is called the 3775 Operations. They jumped at the chance. They were excited. They were eager. When you jump at something, you say, yes, let's go for it. So they thought, this is great. We will be the ones to do the research. What words tell us here that they were going to do the research?
Guinea pig.
Guinea pigs. Why do we talk about guinea pigs? We're not talking about pigs here.
Well, actually, if you're talking about guinea pigs as people, for people, it means that they're used in scientific experiments. They used to, and maybe some places still do, use the actual animal in some experiments. Actually, my daughter used to have 3 guinea pigs for pets. So they're little animals. They're not actually pigs.
They use pigs. They use rats. They use other animals to do experiments on so they can, you know, for health and medical things like that. And so when you're a guinea pig, that means you're trying something out on you and you don't know how it's going to work out.
Yeah, they need to test this with a group of people. And so these guys are part of this experimental program to see if an iPad mini tablet could replace the manuals and charts that make up the traditional paper-based flight bag.
So they said, yes, let's go for it. Let's jump at the chance. Let's get rid of all of these manuals and just have one little thing. Wouldn't that be exciting?
It would. It would, like Linda said, it would also save a lot of trees. They didn't have to print all that paper.
Right.
And it would also allow them to update it very easily because digital materials can be updated in a matter of seconds.
What I found interesting is that the 375th Operations Group is a pretty high-level group. It's based at Scott Air Force Base, and these pilots deal with airlifts, evacuation, refueling in the air. As Josh pointed out earlier before we started filming, they also help service Air Force One, which carries the president. So this is not like a low-level operation at all.
That's true. So these new, what they call them, electronic flight bags, they're working better than they even thought. You know, a flight bag is just a bag, like a big purse or a bag that the pilot might carry with all the maps. But this is an electronic one, and it's working better than they expected. That's good.
Yes, it is. And now we're talking about these flight bags. The pilots are actually given these bags. All pilots on all flights are given bags. They're essentially instructions and things that they might need along the way so that they are prepared mainly for emergencies. That's what this is about.
Right. So it includes their documents, their navigational charts, their operating manual, all kinds of things that they need to fly the plane and to direct it to go in the right to the right place.
So for their pilot training, of course, that's part of it. They learn how to do all this. But now, if you're going to do something new, something different, then you have to go through what we call a learning curve.
That's right, and that just relates to how fast you pick something up when you're learning a new skill. How fast did you progress through the process of acquiring that skill?
Right, so we can say that if you take on a new job in a field that you're not familiar with, you can say there's a very steep learning curve, which means, you know, you're going up quite high. Everyone has a learning curve for something new.
Right. So he acknowledged this. He said, yes, that's true. We do have to learn how to use these before we make the change. And when you go from one thing to another, you make a transition.
Mm-hmm.
You go. So to make the transition to an electronic tablet instead of printed books, yes, there is a learning curve. Are you still in the learning curve, Linda?
I think we're always in the learning curve.
I think it probably has to do with how much time he had spent with
That's
a tablet
true.
Prior
right.
to this.
Yes.
Right? I think if you've spent the last several years with an iPhone, iTouch, all sorts of touch-related technologies, then it would probably come pretty quickly to him. But we're asking people in their work a lot of times now to deal with touch technologies, and they're not using it at home. They haven't been using it with their phones, and it's taking people quite a while to get used to it.
Right, and I think it's also important to see the way that the sentence is phrased. Like in line 3, it says, after a career spent relying on printed books and charts. So that means, you know, that this he's not like 20 years old.
Right.
You know, he's been doing this for a number of years. Otherwise, he wouldn't be the pilot number
That's
one.
That's true.
And so he's been relying on maps and using maps, and now he has to transition to using a mini.
Yeah, and he goes on to say, there have been some differences, but so far the reception has been very positive. So far, so good.
Well, you know, it's always hard to make changes. When you're used to doing something one way, you're so used to it that doing another way, think, oh, I have this learning curve. And it's difficult. But when you think of what it's worth, we're going to find out a little more of what's going to, when we read ahead. Let's read about collecting the data for this.
Collecting the data. On a recent mission to Washington, Detlef slithered behind the C-21A's W-shaped control yoke. Onto the yoke's column, he attached his iPad mini. With a few deft movements, his index finger darted across the iPad's display screen, pulling up the flight plan, followed by the departure procedure. Detlef is in charge of data collection for his unit, which means he switches off from relying on the iPad mini with his co-pilot, who relies on the paper maps and charts. After each flight, the two answer questions on a survey form to assess the iPad's effectiveness. At the end of a 90-day trial, Detlef will tabulate the data, write a report, and turn it in to the Air Mobility Command, based at Scott, which will make the final call.
Okay, collecting the data. On a recent mission to Washington, Detlef slithered behind the C-21A's W-shaped control yoke.
He's like a snake in that cockpit, getting around the yoke. I hadn't heard that phrase yoke before, but that's what the pilots use to control the plane.
Right. Like steering wheel?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's their steering wheel. And the reason this sentence is in here is because earlier we had described how small and cramped the cockpit is on this plane. So this just kind of gives us a real picture of what this gentleman has to do just to get into position to drive this thing.
Right. And then as soon as he gets in, he attaches his little iPad mini right on there. So it's right handy so he can look at it.
First, he plays Candy Crush for about 20 minutes.
Hey, come on, though. You're not allowed to do that when you're on flight control. They probably do not let them put that on there. They
you're probably right.
Regulate that, you know. But with a few deft moments, this idea of deft means quite accomplished, skillful. Isn't that right?
That's right. So if you're deft, it says deft movement, so that means he knows exactly what he's doing.
Right. And with his, what is your index finger? It's the pointing finger, right?
Right. It's the finger right next to your thumb.
Right. And then he just very quickly pulled up the flight plan. Instead of turning around, pulling out a map or a chart and putting it there, it's right there where he has to use this yoke thing to drive. And there it is, and he pulls up the flight plan and the departure procedure right in front of him. That's handy, Bill.
Right. And instead of having to flip through pages of paper or pages in a book, then he can just, you know, when we say darted across, his finger darting across the screen, just picture people, they're scrolling on their smartphone. We always see people, you know, out in public scrolling through like Facebook pages. And so he's just using it to navigate through this iPad. I'll tell you one thing I really like about it, looking at this picture up there at the top of page 16, as opposed to or different from printed maps, he can take a look at that map you see there, and if it's not big enough, then he can enlarge that map. You
right.
know how we enlarge pictures on our phones and
mm-hmm.
things? That is really helpful because sometimes the writing on maps is too small.
That's right.
Oh, they could also add in interactivity. You know, he could watch a video of a place he's going to, or there could be an audio track that's added into it. So there's lots of different ways that digital content can be enhance the physical experience. Perhaps some of our advanced readers are on their tablets right now with the Advanced magazine.
Well, and the main thing for him is to get started, because that's the departure procedure, when you can take off. And all those things are very clear.
I thought that this next paragraph is very, very interesting. It says that Detloff is in charge of the data collection for his unit, so everybody is doing this. And that means he switches off or changes from relying on the iPad mini with his co-pilot. And his co-pilot is using the paper maps and charts. Because notice now, they're guinea pigs, so they haven't totally switched over, right? They're not totally reliant on the iPad. They're using both of them to see which, if they're accurate, if the iPad mini is accurate, how it differs from the paper maps. So they are... after each flight, then they answer these questions about which one they felt was better, which was more accurate, etc.
So that's right. They do have both ways, because they are on an experiment for this. They are the guinea pigs. They are the ones trying it out, and then they answer questions on the survey, and this will assess. And assess means what?
To determine the amount of something. Okay. How valuable is it? You can get an assessment on the value of your home or something that you own.
So is the iPad effective or not? And they look at it together.
Yeah, and it's going to be – they're going to be getting data not only from Jared Detloff, but also several other people to get their opinions. They're not going to rely just on one person's assessment.
No. But at the end of this 90-day trial, that's 3 months, then they're going to tabulate the data. They're going to add it all up and see. So when you tabulate something, you figure it out by getting all the information together, and then they're going to turn in a report, aren't they?
Yes, they're going to turn it into the AMC, or Air Mobility Command, which are the big bosses there at Scott Air Force Base, and that they, it says, will make the final call.
Right. The final call means they will make the final decision.
Yeah, and so they have to take in a lot of things into consideration as far as the pros and cons. In fact, we actually get into some more of the specifics of the pros and cons of what will impact their decision in our reading tomorrow, Doris.
Okay, so we have a little skit now today to remember what we talked about.
Yeah, in fact, we're heading out there to Scott Air Force Base right now. Lieutenant Uhura, do you have a reading on our current position?
Yes, Captain Kirk. Thanks to this iPad mini, I have immediate access to all of our navigational charts.
Yes, yes, it's quite helpful. But where are we?
We just passed over Tangoville, Captain. Next, we'll be approaching the airspace of Oaktown, my hometown.
You can jump out when we're over Oaktown if you want to drop in on your friends.
It's tempting to jump at that opportunity, Captain, but I have a job to do here with the Air Force.
Very good, Uhura. It is helpful having you and that iPad mini on board. These devices are certainly better than having those old paper flight bags.
Those paper flight bags weighed 50 pounds and took up valuable space here in the cockpit. Now we have more room and save on our fuel consumption.
I'm glad the Air Force followed suit from the private sector. Those commercial airlines knew what they were doing a few years ago, switching to iPads.
We're lucky, Captain Kirk, to be the guinea pigs for the study and tabulate the pros and cons of these devices.
That's because we're the best pilots the Air Force has, Uhura. So, what else have you found helpful with that iPad mini?
Well, Captain, while you are flying the plane, I'm able to watch videos on YouTube, update my Facebook wall, and play Candy Crush.
Uhura, I don't think that's what the Air Force has in mind for these iPad minis. They're designed for flight plans and navigation.
Oh, lighten up, Captain. You know where you're going. You've been a pilot for 20 years and have flown this route 1,000 times. You need to relax.
You're right, Lieutenant. You take over the plane for a while. Let me see that iPad. Is Farmville on here?
So what are some of the vocabulary that we want to remember from today's lesson?
Well, I like the term learning curve, Doris. This is really helpful. And we're all experiencing that now as we have to keep learning more and more gadgets, software, apps, things like this. And it's learning curve is spreading now to everybody, and it's constant. So, we're trying to shorten that learning curve.
Well, I noticed when I asked for something that Bill jumped at the chance to do that. See, you got right in there. I mean, you jump at the opportunity, and that's a good thing, Bill. Thank you for jumping in there.
I'd make a good Air Force pilot.
Oh, I'm not sure about that. You'd make a good guinea pig, Bill, for something. To do
good
some experiments.
Guinea pig.
But we've had a good time today discussing this lesson.
Yeah, I like the word slithered, although it does make me think of snakes.
I know.
It is a good word.
I don't like the word slithered.
Mine's I don't like the word, but I think it was very descriptive of how what it took for the pilot to get into
That's true.
And I like the phrase guinea pig. You can use that if you're the first to try something in your family or checking out a new technology at work. You could volunteer and be the guinea pig.
Right. So it's not a bad term, Bill. It's okay.
No, I didn't take it that way. It's
okay.
A bad term.
That's good, Bill.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we hope that you'll be here tomorrow when we talk more about this experiment and the things that are good, the pros and the cons, the benefits and the drawbacks. Be here tomorrow for that. We'll see you then, everyone, and have a great day. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.